Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 through 22. We're glad you're here. Well, it's a beautiful song, one that prepares our heart to hear the Word of God. Music is a good thing if you have the right kind of music. Young people, put the right kind of music in your life. The wrong kind of music will be a detriment to your life. The good kind of music could be a blessing to your life. That was good music right there. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We've already got a couple couples that are... Actually, we've got three couples lined up already for the You Are Loved. We need four couples, and we got three already. Jim, you're going. You're going to be in it, Jimmy. We got two Jims in it. Kathy, you don't know, but you're in the You Are Loved game. it's going to be a lot of fun. You win a big prize too if you win, and it's great. You really do. It's a lot of fun. Almost everybody in here has been in the You Are Loved game, by the way, and it's a lot of fun though. And David he MCs the whole thing, and he cracks jokes, and it's a riot. You got to try to get your brother. I don't know if your brother could be free on it. Boy, it'd be great for him to come up that night. That'd be phenomenal if he could. Yes, it's almost like your initiation to the church. You're right. You got to get the people when they first get there. They won't do it. If I'd known that, I wouldn't. No, I'm just kidding you. Just kidding. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And Jack and Judy did it, and Jack didn't get divorced afterwards, and we're glad about that. And Bobby and Jamie, I'm just about Brent and Kath. I mean, you name it. Everybody's been through the fire, most of them. And we want you, too, to be in the fire. Amen. Rod and Deb, have you been up there yet? Not yet. Okay. All righty. I want to talk to you about three important questions. I'm just going to ask you today three important questions. I think they're going to be one of the three most important questions you ever hear in your life. And so, would you look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 19? The scripture says in Matthew 8, 19, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, talking to Jesus, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Father, help me to be a blessing. I really believe during the week you put this in my heart. And I just pray, dear God, that you'd help me be a blessing. I sure want to be. Thank you for everyone that's here, every one of our members. Lord, thank you for faithful members. Thank you for caring and members that love and contribute and help and pray and do the work of God. Thank you for our guests that are with us today. Oh, God, I just pray they'll be encouraged by the Word of God, and they'd want to keep coming back to be part of this great assembly for the things of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Today I want to ask ourselves three important questions. That's the title of the message, Danny. Title of the message is Three Important Questions. I believe if we would address these questions today, we'd be better prepared for the future decisions that we must and will make. You're going to make decisions in the future. And there's some decisions it's a must. You can't go through life without making some decisions. You can't be neutral. There's times you got to choose. Joshua said, choose you this day. And so there are the times in our life that we must make decisions one way or the other. And by the way, those decisions that we make and decide for affect us not just that day, but the days to come in the future and for years ahead. Well, look at Matthew 8:19. Let me read it to you one more time. Matthew 8:19. This certain scribe, he came to Christ and he said, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. This certain scribe makes the statement of Jesus, Master, I will follow thee whichever thou goest. In other words, you know, you think about that, that's a pretty big statement. That's really a very bold statement, and a statement that should not be made unless you really have prayerfully considered what you're saying. Just don't make oaths and vows to God with no thought behind it. Because God takes these things very seriously. We should take our fellowship of Christ very seriously. Amen? Because our walk with God, Brother Rod, is a very serious matter. And now, this scribe, in essence, just said, Jesus, I will follow you anywhere you go. And whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Look what he said there in verse 19. I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. Hey, I don't care where you go. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you... I'm going to follow you. That's a pretty big statement. Now listen. In other words, Jesus, I'm all the way with you no matter what. So let me ask you this first important question. Number one, he said he'd go all the way with Jesus. Whether thou goest, I will follow, right? Number one, three questions. How far would you follow Jesus? To what extent, to what length would you follow Jesus? Now, before you answer that, I want you to look at what Jesus said to this man. Look what Jesus replied to the scribe. Look at the statement that Jesus in verse 20 said to the scribe after he said that great. That's great. Someone say, "Man, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I don't care where you go. I'm going to stick with you like super glue. I'm going to be with you." That's a great statement. And by the way, that's a great thing if we would do it. But I want you to see what Jesus said in response to that statement. Well, when you look at that statement, you say, wow, how in the world how is that in the same context? He says, I'm going to follow you everywhere you go, no matter what happens. Look at verse 20. But look at Jesus' response to him. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Isn't that kind of an odd statement to say in response to what that man just said? Well, it really isn't. Because I noticed some things. Think with me. What do you think Jesus was saying there? I think here what Jesus was trying to teach. I think he's trying to teach the scribe. I think he's trying to teach you and I something. Before you say you'll follow me anywhere and whatsoever you go, I'll go with you. Before you say that, hey, Mr. Scribe, before you say you'll follow me, I want you to think about this. I don't even have a place to lay my head right now. Mr. Scribe, I don't own a home, and I don't have a place to call my home down here on this earth. Mr. Scribe, before you start boasting you're going to follow me anywhere, you better consider this. You might not have even a house to follow me. You might not even have a house to sleep in. Hey, Mr. Scribe, if you follow me, you might not have much money. Hey, Mr. Scribe, if you follow me, you might be in the cold sometimes or in the hot summer sun without no shade and without no comfort. Because following me sometimes, you have to be subject yourself to where I am and what we're doing. Hello? Mr. Scribe, if you're following me, you might miss some of the luxuries and comforts of this world. Hey, Mr. Scribe, before you say you're going to follow me to the ends of the world, I want you to know you might not always have plenty to eat if you follow me. Hey, Mr. Scribe, before you say you're going to follow me to the ends of the world, and whichever place I go, when you follow me, you might encounter some trouble. You might encounter some trials. You might encounter some tribulations. You might encounter some hardships. But, you know, before you say that, you better take some thought. You know, everything about follow me is not all wonderful roses and fun. Are you still with me? Say amen. Hey, Mr. Scribe, are you sure you still want to follow me? My journey's long and it's laborious. Hey, Mr. Scribe, are you sure you want it? You better take, before you utter these words, you know, you might want to reconsider your words, because to follow me, there's going to have to be some real dedication and determination to stay with it. Because to follow me, Mr. Scribe, is not for the faint-hearted. Did you know the faint-hearted won't make it following Jesus? Hello? And then, look at verse 21. Then this disciple jumps up, another one. He says, and another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He said, Jesus, look at 22, what Jesus says to him. On him, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. Boy, Jesus is just a straight, blunt speaker, ain't he? Amen? Hey, Mr. Disciple, and hey, Mr. Scribe, if you're going to follow me, you've got to be willing to leave your parents. I was preaching in the morning message, Sunday school, when a man gets married, he needs to leave his father and mother's rule and have his own home and have his own wife and not let the parents rule their family. Come out from among them. Abraham was a great truth that I showed how God never blessed him until he got away from his household and his family so he could be his own man and have his own home. Amen? Hey, Mr. Disciple and Mr. Scribe, if you follow me, you're going to have to be willing to leave your parents. See, he didn't tell me not to love them. You can't, hey, Mr. Disciple, you can't wait until your parents die, then say, now, Lord, after they're dead, I will follow you. In other words, what's this guy? It wasn't that man's father died right then. He was saying, hey, Jesus, I'll follow you, but right now I can't because I got to take care of my mom and dad. Once they're gone, then I can follow you. No, wait, listen, look up here. If you're going to follow Christ, you've got to forsake the world and just follow him. You don't wait till someone. You don't wait till someone dies. Actually, Abraham, he took his dad dying before he got away from and started following God. Hello. And notice what Jesus says. Disciple and Mr. Scribe, to follow Jesus, you have to be willing to go anywhere at any time when Jesus calls. How many want to follow Jesus? Okay, well, that's good that we want to, but there's some things that we need to understand to follow him. Number one, how far and how long will we follow? To follow Jesus, you must be willing to leave your city. You must be willing to leave your state. You must be willing even to leave your country. You must be willing to leave your parents and your family and your friends if you're gonna. Hey. There was a day God called me, and I had to leave Toledo. And God calls you. Someday you might have to be somewhere else. I remember getting in that big old Ryder truck. David was just a little young teenage kid. 1990. He was about 13 years old. He was born in 77. And David jumped in the front seat with me in that big old U-Haul truck, and we headed up to Ravenna. Here we go. Left the family behind. Just me and Rose and Dave and Tammy. And you never know. You gotta be, if I was said, no, I can't leave, I would have never been a pastor here. Hello? Listen, you're not all called to pastor, but what I'm saying is there might be something that God calls you to do. No matter where it's at, what it is, you got to be willing to say, God, if that's what you want, I'm willing to do it. No matter how far it is, no matter where it is, I'm willing to do it. You know, that's followership. Notice, to follow Jesus, you must have a heart to say, you lead me, Lord, and I'll follow. I love the words, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You know, we hear as long as we hear as long, and we will obey as long as we hear what we like to hear. Hello? How many are still with me? Oh, I'll follow him as long as you don't say something I don't want to do. No, when you are a real follower of Christ, you do whatever he says, no matter if you like it or not. To follow Jesus, you must be willing to endure the good days and the bad days. To follow Jesus, you must follow him in sickness and in health. And to follow Jesus, you must follow him in poverty or in wealth. To follow Jesus, you must love him and obey him and honor him. You see, to follow Jesus, it's like a marriage. Teenagers, it's like a marriage. Till death do us part. That's following Jesus. See, we'll follow Jesus a lot of times when it's comfort and convenient for us. But when we follow him when it's not convenient? How many can say amen? Number one, how long and how far would you follow Jesus? Will you follow Jesus until our life journey's end? Brother Carl, we're past the main part of our life. We'd be crazy to stop now. We're more closer to the end than we are the beginning. Bobby, for us to stop now, we would be a fool to stop. Mildred, we're more than two-thirds there. We need to keep going till life journey's end. If you're following Christ now and you're older, follow him to the day you die. You're new anyways. How many people have you seen the older Christians drop out of just quit serving God? I had a dear family member on Rosie's side that I really loved a lot. And he got discouraged and older in his life. He was a deacon in the church and real faith, and he just stopped. He just dropped out of church, and Eddie never got back in church. He died a good man, a saved man, but he died not running the race for God. Well, I hope none of you end up dropping out of the race near the end of your life. Isn't that a sad testimony? Will you turn back and quit on God all along the way? I wonder how many are trying to follow Jesus right now? All right, during 2007, I wonder, at the end of 2007, will you still be following him? Will you still be following him in 2007? Or will some of you be casualties in 2007? And will some of you drop out along the way? I wonder, Brother Carl, how many people at Bethel Baptist Church are going to drop out of following Christ along the way in 2007? I hate to say it, Eddie, but I guarantee you a year from now, if the Lord doesn't come back, and he could, though, but if he doesn't, there'll be some people that will pick up some, and there'll be a few that started with us, but they didn't continue. Sometimes people don't continue because the Bible says they started out from among us, but they were never of us. That's why they did not continue. Scriptures, I noted this. Some of you have already turned back and have quit following God, and you just need to rededicate your life and say, God, he's right. I've quit on you. Listen, 2007, some of you quit on God in 2006. Why don't you say, man, I'm going to get to this altar. I'm going to rededicate my life, and I'm going to get saved. Now, you're not going to get saved, but you've already been saved, but I'm going to make this year count for God. You wasted time. You wasted your life, and you're wasting more of your life. Why don't you get serious and say, this year, whatsoever thou takest me, God, I'm going to follow you. I hope your heart would be stirred today, say, this year, now, today, I'm going to decide, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow him to the end of my life. Let me ask this question. How far will you follow Jesus? Is there anywhere, any place, anything that you would not follow him with? You know, the Bible says we are, if we want to follow him, we need to follow him with all our heart. Are you with me? Look at the scripture with me in Mark chapter 10. I want to read a scripture to you. Mark chapter 10. By the way, I'm having a tremendous time on Wednesdays. We're reading through the Bible as a church, and I'm this last week, and I'll probably do it this week. Did you notice? Did you notice? And I'm giving you little things, little tidbits of each of the different chapters as you're going through to try to help teach you the Bible as you're reading through it. Amen? Don't miss Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We're having a great time. Notice, look at Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" You see that? And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered, "Master, all these things I have observed from my youth." And Jesus said, beholding him and loved him, said, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." And watch, it says, "Come," look at verse 21, latter part, "come, take up thy cross and follow me." How many see that? Look also in Luke chapter 9, Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross. Look at Luke 9, 23. He said unto them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily." You don't serve God one day and the next day you don't serve him. You got to determine that you're going to follow him every day, no matter if you're happy or you're sad, if you're sick or you're well, if you're rich or you're in poverty. Following Jesus doesn't determine what you are and where you are in life. You just say, no matter where I'm in life, no matter what state I am, I'm going to follow him. It says, "And take up your cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." You want to save your life? This ain't talking about your eternal soul. This is talking about you want to make full use of your life? Then give it to Christ. I took Brother Joe out there in the land yesterday. They went back last night to Toledo, and we prayed on it. And he said, "Preacher, I know the Lord's going to let you build on here." He said, "I think this is going to be a legacy of your life." He said, I can just see God doing great things here. And boy, these kids here are our future there. Amen? And for us to be there, we're going to have to die to ourselves and live to him. You can't do a work of God and be half-hearted. It takes all our heart to do it. All the time. Now, I want you to know something. How far would you follow Jesus? By the way, can I say this? Sometimes God will never call you to go outside of your home. He might never call most of you. Never. I know a lot of guys that never left serving God, loved, and doing great things, and never left where they were born. But to really follow Jesus, you've got to be willing, if he does say to go, that you would go. Doesn't mean you have to go, but that if you would tell me to go, I would do it. Well, the guy says, "Well, I'm going to leave so I can show God I'd be one." No, you stay there. If he wants you to go, he'll show you. He might want you just to be right there, but the thing is, it's what your heart is. Lord, whatever you want's what I want. If you wouldn't have been willing to let the Lord speak to you down in Atlanta, you wouldn't be here right now. I'm glad you were Lord let you speak to your heart, because God brought you back to Ravenna. I'm glad He listened. Amen? By the way, He wasn't a preacher then. He was just a good gospel singer and a good kid. Now He's a real great youth pastor and preacher. Amen? And a great singer too. How many with me? But Eddie, if you would not have listened to God, if you and Misty would have said, no, we're staying here no matter what, we're not going to obey. See, you had to make a decision. Do I go back? You just say to leave and come back. You got to make those. When God speaks, you got to make a decision. And look up here. I don't know what God's going to call every one of us to do. But whatever He does, we got to say, Lord, here I am. Speak. Whatever You want, that's what I want. For instance, Eddie was a great illustration for God the Father. Bruce mentions, hey, I got those calendars, or those Bible track reading through. He said, two teens, boom, go get them. They obeyed. Thy servants hear it, speak. And they went right away and did it. That's how we need to be with God when we want to follow Him. Whatever He tells us to do, we need to do it. If He tells us to run a bus route, we should run a bus route. If He tells us to do this, we should do this. You know, look at, sometimes people get so caught up they with your own thoughts, you forget what God really called you to do. You are doing the most important thing right now you could ever do. You're obeying God and working where God told you to do. Do you know if you were doing something else, you wouldn't be in God's will? Eddie, I'm going to tell you right now, you're doing more for God right now than you know. You and Lizzie, Eddie, don't realize, you guys are doing more for God right now, serving God in the bus routes and in the super church and things like that, and Becker Club. You could be, Eddie, you could be off somewhere else, but you know what, Eddie? If it wasn't God's will, it's more important what you're doing right now. How many understand what I'm trying to tell you? Sometimes we don't realize, we think we're always looking for something over the hill. On the other side where the grass is maybe greener. The grass isn't green on the other side. But we got to be willing to, if You want me to go there, then I'll do it. But many times He just says, in most cases, He just says, I want you to do right. I just want you to be faithful right where you're at. Serve me right now where you, follow me right where you're, right where you stay, right now where you live. And we fail. So number one, how far will you follow Jesus? Second important question. I turn back to Matthew, Mark chapter 10. How much would I be willing to give up to follow? How far? Number one, how far would you follow Jesus? Number two, how much would you be willing to give up to follow Jesus? Number one, before I leave it, would you be willing to go to a foreign land? Would you be willing to go to another country if God spoke to you? Would you be willing to go to another state? Would you be willing to go to another city if God spoke to you? How far would you follow Him? He said, whatsoever thou goest, I'll go with you. How far would you go for God if He spoke to you? Would you go the distance for God? If you want to follow Him, you've got to be willing to say, yes, I would. Amen? Number two, how far would you go for Jesus, but how much would you be willing to give up to follow Jesus? Parents, would you be willing to give up your children that they could go to the mission field? Would you be willing to give your child up that they could go into the ministry? You know, a lot of times I watch Christian parents. Oh, we love Jesus. But boy, when it starts coming time where their kids say, well, I'm going to go off to Bible college, or I'm going to go off to a mission field. Well, I don't want you to leave me, honey. You stay here with us. No, let me tell you something. Those kids aren't yours. That precious little baby of yours, that little girl, Trish, she's precious. She's yours, but you know who gave her to you? God. Children are heritage of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, Christians. Listen to me, Christian parent. We're to take those little gifts from heaven that God gives us and to train them and to love them and to teach them the ways of God. And when they grow up, if they want to go out and serve God, we should not try to stop them. Well, I might never see him, preacher. I won't see my grandkids. By the way, I'm a grandpa. I know all about that. We were just talking about this the other day. 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember how many. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I can't. Time goes by so fast. John Allen called me. Remember evangelist John Allen? He took a church down in Alabama. He called me. He said, would you give me permission to talk to your son-in-law about giving him a full-time job as my youth pastor? And I said, yes, I will. Because if God's in this, I don't want to hold back. And of course, you say, well, my lands. That means Tammy and the babies would be gone. Sure, we get rid of David, but you don't want to lose Tammy and the kids. Are you with me? And I could have said, no! I could have said, no, John! You can have David, but you can't have Tammy and Natalie and Tippy Brooke. Lukey wasn't along then, I don't think yet. And, I said, go ahead and call him. Call him right now. And David comes to Dad. Dad, did you know, David, come over and tell me. Dad, did you know, he called us, asked us to go full-time down there? I think he offered like $40,000. I think he offered him more than what I'm giving him right now. Okay, that was years ago. And I said, David, if you believe that's what God wants you to do, you should do it. In my heart, I told Rosie, I don't believe God's in this. I didn't tell that to David. I said, David, go down there, candidate, let's see if the Lord will speak to you. If he does, then so be it. That's where God wants. David, he prayed for a few days and he called John. He said, I'm not going to come because I am not going to go because I don't feel God wants me to go there. But I was willing to give him up. You know, we as Christians, parents, we need to be willing to give our kids up. Amen? And a lot of times, we're willing to follow God and serve God as long as it don't affect our lives. Well, God, now that's taking a little bit too far. Lord, you're asking a little bit too much now. Now you're intruding on my personal life, God. Hello? Our personal life? What about follow him whatsoever thou goest? Number two, I'm still on number two. How much would you be willing to give up? Would you be willing to give up your children? My niece was here a few weeks ago, Betty. They came for Sunday service. And she had a daughter named Megan. A couple of years ago, Megan, some missionaries came to their church from Japan. And since then, Megan, my little niece, she had her heart for Japan. Eddie, she can't get Japan out of her heart. And she's only 13 years old. She's got a Bible, a New Testament in Japan. She's learning how to write Japan. She can say a few words in Japan, Japanese. And here's what Betty said to me. She said, Uncle Rich, I really think when Betty gets old enough, God's going to call her to be a missionary, maybe meet a preacher there and go to Japan. And she said, I hope at that time I can give her up. And I said, Betty, I know you'll be able to because God's already told you what he's going to do. And you are, and listen, she's not yours. She's his. I know you have two children, Skylar and Titus, and I'm glad you're taking care of them. But they're not yours. They're God's. He just lent them to you. Eddie and Jeannie, you've got a son here that I know God's going to do something great in his life. I'm hoping that God lets him be your for the whole future of Bethel Baptist Church. And I'm going to do all I can to keep him here. And I'm going to break anyone's jaw if tries to take him away. But there, I don't know. But here's the thing. No matter what whatever happens in Eddie's life, we got to be willing to say, hey, whatever God wants, we want. Now we can all say, yeah, amen, someday, you know, Eddie's going to be a full-time associate pastor, going to be a youth pastor. And that's my hope and my dream for that something to happen. But there might be a day that something happens in Eddie's life where God calls him to a mission field. We got to be as happy for that as we would be for us. How many are with me? I think you're the future of our church here. I really do. I told a man the other day, I said, Eddie Wilson is the future of our new work out there in the Infirmary Road. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord would call him away and it would be God, he goes our blessing. How much would you be willing to give up your children? How much would you be willing to give up money to follow Jesus? I'm picking on Brother Eddie here, but Eddie, before when he was in Atlanta, he was making a huge salary. Brother Eddie was making, I mean, six figures. And they wanted to advertise alcohol. He said, I can't do that. And he came back. And he quit his job and came back here. And now you're, Eddie, someday you're going to be in the ministry full time. You're going to be a pauper. Keep building them duplexes. You're going to need some income. Amen? Well, let me tell you something, Eddie. I'm going to tell you, if you wouldn't have decided in Atlanta that serving God was more important than making money, you wouldn't be here today. How many understand what I mean? Yeah, he wasn't even thinking about the ministry then. He was just a Christian conscience, a conviction he had in his heart. Dave Ballard, our associate pastor. When he was in construction, he was making big money. But he said, Dad, I know God wants me to be a full-time man. I said, I believe he does too. We need a principal. And so he took a huge pay cut. But he's in the work of God. See, what I'm saying is, people got to be willing. How much would you, if God would ask you to give up some money, would you be willing to do it? I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. How far would you go? How much would you give to keep following God? How many are with me? How much money would it take for you not to follow God? I wrote this down. What would you give up? Would you give up your family? Would you give up your friends to follow Jesus? Would you give up all your dreams and goals for God's dreams and for God's goal? Hey, kids, you know, you're young. You're young. And I'm not telling you not to be a lawyer or a doctor or a chemist or whatever you want to be. Because there's no shame in being none of those things. Or even a garbage man. You be anything you want to be. But you should be what... No, you shouldn't let the world dictate to what you are. In other words, if God wants you to be a veterinarian, then you be the best veterinarian for God. But if God wants you to be a Sunday school teacher, a Christian school teacher, and the money's not going to be there, you be the Christian school teacher and let God take care of the rest. Because I'm going to tell you something. You see these silver hairs? My hair used to be as dark as this hair. And I got pictures to prove it. Rod Black saw me when I had it. And he saw me when I was one person. You know what? Levi, time goes by fast. I'm going to tell you, Andy, I'm so glad I chose to take my life and just use it for God. Bobby, I'm so glad that when I had to make a decision in the career of my life, well, by the way, preaching is not a career, it's a calling. Some of you people get that mixed up. Some of you people want careers in the ministry. The ministry is not a career. The ministry is a calling. It's a calling from God. That's why a lot of people don't get made, they get mixed up with the ministry, and they get frustrated because, see, it's not being, Mac, the reason I'm here, I mean, not is God wanted me. He called me. God called me to preach, Joe. God has to do that. But even if He doesn't call you to preach, He's got something for your life. And if you let a job or a profession take that away and steal that from what God has for you, then you've done wrong. Not many people are preachers. But everybody can be a servant of God somehow, somewhere, in some capacity. Hello? Am I making any sense to anybody today? I was excited when I prepared this message. I must not be delivering it well. What would you give up? Would you give up? Well, preacher, I can't do that. I couldn't give up all my dreams I've got planned for. I'm going to tell you, what your dreams you got planned for are never compared to if God's got dreams for you. In other words, would you give up? Would you give your life? Would you die to yourself and live unto God? Literally lose your life for God? You know what? I'm 57, going to be 58. God gives us appointed 70 years. That gives me 12 to 13 more years. And if God's good, and I get more. But you know what? If I die tomorrow, I'm going to tell you something. I don't regret the path I took. I made a lot of mistakes, but I don't regret following God. Amen? Now, I read to you in Luke 9:23, he that saves his life shall lose it. Are you going to save your life or lose it? How much would be too much for you? You couldn't follow Jesus. Could a higher paying job stop you from following Jesus? Could a thought of not having a house or a car stop you from following Jesus? Could the thought of never seeing your child again stop you from following Jesus? Could the inconvenience of not having the nice things of the world stop you from following Jesus? Could the thought of having to leave your city, your state, and your country stop you from following Jesus? Could the change of your career and being not what you thought you wanted to be, but what God wanted to be, could that stop you from following Jesus? How much would be too much? Some of you, by the way, I can't even get you to give me an hour for Sunday school. I can't even get some of you to give me 1 hour. We're talking about following Christ. I can't even give you to dedicate 1 hour. I'm trying to scope of a life. I'm trying to deal for your life, and I can't even deal with you in 1 hour. You need to be here at 9:30 to let me show you the engrafted Word of God. You need to be here for your kids in those Sunday school classes so Miss Ruth and Miss Sue and Brother Truex and them, all the teachers down there, that they can teach you the Word of God. So Miss Lizzie and Brother Eddie can teach you the Word of God. Is it that much to follow Jesus to come 1 hour early to hear the Word of God? Let alone go to another city or state or country. Listen. The reason you won't even consider going to another city or another state or another country, the reason you won't consider giving your tithe, the reason you won't consider doing something that God tells you, is you won't even first give Him 1 hour. That's the truth. See, He's never going to ask you to do something big until you do the little ones first. He said, well, that guy, he showed me to be faithful. He showed me to be faithful here doing this. Maybe I can ask him to do this. Why didn't God ever ask me to do that? And do you ever wonder why? You didn't do the small things. Hello? This is a good message, isn't it? How much would be too much? What could God ask you and me that we would say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. That's just too much to ask me to give up. How much would it be too much to ask you to give up? How much would God have? How much, what would be that you say, God, I can't. That's just too much, God. I can't give up my family. I can't give up this. I can't. Yeah. Listen. How much would be too much? And then, lastly, look at Mark chapter 10, verse 22. He said, "What the man that came to Christ, he was sad." Mark 10, 22. He was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He went away sad. He went away grieving. He died with regrets of not following Jesus. Here's the last third important question. The first question, how far would you follow Jesus? Second question, how much would you give for Jesus? The last question, how much sorrow and regret will you have at the end of your life because you didn't follow Jesus? Brother Coolidge, the scripture says that that man, after Christ talked to him, he went away with sorrow and grief, and at the end of his life, he regretted that he didn't follow Christ. Some of you are going to get to the end of your life and you're going to regret you didn't follow Christ. We sing, I surrender all. We sing, all to Jesus I surrender. We sing, trust Him and obey, for there's no other way. I'll tell you, if we would live what we sing, we'd have far less regret at the end of our life. Most people come to the end of their life. You better listen to me. Most people come to the end of their life with a wasted life. I'm talking about Christians. You listen to me, Bethel Baptist Church. I know what I'm talking about. I've pastored for over 25 years. I know the ministry. I've been in it a long time. Over a quarter of a century. I know a little more than what you think I know because I've been there. I've seen it. And people come at Jimmy. Hey, Bobby. People come to the end of their life because they say, oh man, how many have heard this statement? If I could only live my life over again. How many ever heard that statement? They've wasted all their life and they say this statement to me. Preacher, if I could only live my life over again. I got this noted. You can't live it over again. So make it count now. Don't wait till you're 75 and say, man, I wish I would have lived for God. It's too late. You only get one roll. You get one chance. And if you don't take that chance, you lose out. So what do? You start today. Right now. Don't regret being, I'm just thinking these two thoughts, you're going to go home. Don't regret being saved. Can you imagine the guy that if you're here today and you've never been saved, you die, you're going to have regrets. You're going to regret that you didn't get saved because the moment you die, you're going to go to hell. Oh, I don't believe in heaven and hell. God wouldn't send anybody to hell. You send yourself to hell. Listen, look up here. As I was studying through Genesis, in Genesis 35:18, about Rachel, when she was having Benjamin, she died. It says, her soul was in departure, for she died. And when Jacob died, Israel, Genesis 49:33, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost. The moment you die, that soul and spirit that's eternal, that lives forever, goes out in eternity. And if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you better listen to me. One thing you're going to remember is this preacher preaching to you. Because he said, remember thou in thy lifetime. And you're going to cry out, oh God, God, take me out of this flame. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I regret that I did. Too late. No changing, no reverse, no coming back. If you're here today, you better get saved, because I'm going to tell you, if you're not saved, you'll have an eternity to regret it. Christian, don't regret saying, and I hear this all the time, it cost me too much to follow Him. Don't let the words haunt you. I wanted to follow. I wanted to follow Him. But that was asking too much of me. Preacher, I wanted to do it for you. I wanted to serve God. But that was asking too much of me. Those words, you listen to me here. Those words that you're saying, that I wish I could, but I can't because it's too much. I can't follow. They're going to haunt you. You're going to come down to the end of your life, and you're going to say, oh, I'm sorry. Stand up. Would you please? Joe, and you want Megan, stand up. I want you to look over here. Look over there. Look at this over here. And you that work them, and there's more than that. I just picked them. If you would have turned your back on God and never ran them buses and never did the Becca Club, you affected these kids' lives. And by the way, her sister's sick. She left earlier. There are people that are going to be in eternity because of what you did. I'm glad you did it. And you're going to be glad too, because Eddie, if you would have dropped out and not done it, Lizzie, you would have regretted it all your life. Thank you. Be seated. I'm going to tell you right now what we do in our lives. And by the way, that goes for all you bus workers and all you workers that do things. How you affect people's lives for eternity. It's not just for today, Eddie. You affected their lives forever. I hope you can grab a hold of that, man. You're affecting these kids' life today. For not just today, but for in the future too, man. Oh, Carl, if we can grab hold of this, I will follow thee whither thou goest. I couldn't get that out of my mind this week, Rod. I will follow thee whither thou goest. How far? How far will we follow him? How long will we follow him? How much are we willing to give to follow him? What would it take for us not to follow him? When do we stop following? Will some of you this year stop following him? Some of you already stopped in 2006. Why don't you today start following him in 2007? Because, Mac, when we get to the end, we're either going to have joy or regrets. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Not everybody's a preacher. There's only a few that are preachers. And by the way, preachers aren't better than you. We're all just a part of the body of Christ. God has different parts of the body. Study your scriptures. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. I'm just doing what God called me to do. You need to do what God called you. He might have called you to be a bus worker, an usher. I don't know what he called you to do, but whatever he called you to do, be the best you can that he called you for. The trouble with Christians is, if you can't be a certain thing, you don't want to be anything. Why don't you just be what God calls you to do? And embrace it and say, oh God, thank you. I'm a child of yours, and thank you that you let me serve you in this capacity. And serve him with all your soul. I wonder how far we'd go for him. I wonder how much it would take for us to say, I can't, that's too much for me to serve him. David, they say everyone's got their own price. Wonder what Satan had to give you and Shannon make you sell out. Rent, what would Satan have to give you and me to sell out? Everybody's got their price. They say. Are you with me? But I say they don't. I say not everyone does have a price. I say everyone has an option to say, no, I'm going to follow God no matter what. I say fooey to what they say. I say, let God be true and every man a liar. And I say like Joshua, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Who are you going to serve? I'm going to tell you, how good are you going to serve? Are you going to serve them half-heartedly? That's why we have half-hearted churches, where we have half-hearted Christians. Are you going to put it all in line and say, oh God, here am I. Whatever you tell me, I'll do whatever you give. I'll do whatever you say. I'll give us whatever, how much you give. Lord, whatever you want, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Lord, you just tell me what you want, and God, I'll follow you. Whatsoever you ask me, whatsoever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Lord, I just want to follow you. How far will you, follow him? How much would you give? Would you give all yourself to follow him? That's what it's going to take. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you'd help us to realize it's an awesome thing to follow Christ. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that people have dropped out of the run. They're not running no longer. They're not racing from doing the work of God. Pray today that they would get back in and say, Lord, I'm going to start serving you again. I pray for Christians that they'd have a renewed heart. Say, I'm going to keep running the race. I'm not going to quit. God, I'll be there at the end of 2007. I'm still going to be following you. I'm not going to drop out. And I pray if there's anyone here lost, oh God, I pray with all my heart that they'll be saved. I wonder with their heads bowed and their eyes closed today, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And if I died, I know I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put it down. How many would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And preacher, I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me that I could be saved? Just lift the hand, put it back down. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Pray. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Who'd say that? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not. Yes. Is that a hand there? God bless you. Who else? Who else? Pray for me. I'm not sure. How many is a Christian here? How many would, no one's looking. How many is a, say, I know I'm a Christian. But preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. In 2006, I kind of dropped out. Oh, I might have been here, but I really wasn't here. And I'm going to start following God like I used to. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Yes, yes, sir. God bless you. You know, make a decision. I'm going to follow him. I'm not talking about half-hearted once in a while. I mean, all, every day, be a faithful follower. Live your life for him. Let him live through you. Make your life count for him. How many of the Christians say, I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. I felt lately about quitting. I've actually thought about giving up and quitting. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. Yes. God bless you. Yes. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you let Satan discourage you. You stay in. Don't you give up. Young people, be open to God. If God would want you to preach or be a missionary or some kind of Christian worker, be open to it. Don't resist the calling of God. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to call every person. And that doesn't mean you're a bad person if He don't call you. But have a heart, no matter what, if God calls, that you'll respond. That you won't turn away. That's all a preacher wants for your life. If I had my choice, I'd make every boy a preacher. And every girl a preacher's wife. That would be my perfect scenario here. That every one of my teams would be a preacher or a preacher's wife. But that isn't how God does things. You got a full life ahead of you. When you get to the end of your life, are you going to have regrets? One more thing, we'll go. How many of you are here and say, "Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I know I'm saved, but I'll be honest with you. I've got some regrets about my life lately. Pray for me. I've got some regrets." Yes. 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 Oh, don't keep going in those regrets. Turn them around. Turn them around. And turn that regret into rejoicing. You can't do nothing about yesterday, but you can affect today and tomorrow. Heavenly Father, I pray I didn't fail you. I hope the presentation was a presentation that people understood. It was so important. I pray that they got that you put in my heart. Holy Spirit, wherever I failed, I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit will put in their heart what you want them to have. And if there be any lost, I pray that they'll get saved today. And for Christians, Lord, many hands went up on both sides. Help them to decide to follow you. Help them decide not to quit. Help them decide to stay in the race. Help them to decide, Father, and to understand that what they're doing is so important. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page is it, honey? Andy, would you lead me in a song? 394. Brother Eddie's going to lead us in a song at 394. All to Jesus I surrender.